You can come up here. You can stand down there. Whatever you're comfortable with, Lauren. You have a cold? So you're going to need this. Yeah, come right on up here. Try to get my stuff out of your way. You go speak right into that. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go.
So, as Dale said, my name is Lauren Lamb, and I am here with Family Promise of Ontario County. I have come to you today to say thank you in a very big way. I want to say thank you for making the commitment to opening your hearts to the homeless. I want to say thank you for recognizing the need and taking action to address the need. I want to say thank you for being a founding member and a host congregation for Family Promise of Ontario County. Homelessness in Ontario County is a real and tangible issue, but it can be an invisible problem, one that is hard to recognize. We don't, in our small community, have people living in cardboard boxes or tent cities, but nonetheless, it is real. The most recent statistics for our county put the number of school-age children living in homelessness at over 200, and that is just the kids that are old enough to attend school. I work in the Geneva City School District and am personally aware of a number of children and their families in Geneva that could benefit from our program today. For me, there is an urgency to the work that we're doing. The work is necessary and extremely valuable. In preparing for today's presentation, I thought about what specifically I wanted to share with you. To me, the most important message that I keep coming back to is that God is in our process. Mm. Whenever there is a challenge or a perceived roadblock, as we move toward opening our doors, God clears a path for us. The Lord sends a person, sparks a conversation, creates a connection, and we move down the path toward opening. So much has been done so far. To date, we have 16 host congregations.
Praise the Lord. That's
signed
good.
In Ontario County, all over the county, from Farmington to Victor to Canandaigua to Geneva to Bloomfield, and of course, including this one. We are narrowing the search for a day center and transportation for our guests to and from host congregations. We are preparing training programs for our volunteers, and currently we are really starting the push for fundraising. There is still a lot of work to do, and I hope, that many of you will be willing to step forward in faith to continue the work that has well begun. To get Family Promise of Ontario County open and ready to serve, we need energy, ideas, and commitment. This is a big undertaking that will not happen easily, but as I've said, God is in the process. Reaching out to the less fortunate, the hungry, the homeless, is the work Jesus calls us to do. Family Promise of Ontario County is tapping into a power, a greater truth, that together, with God in our midst, we can accomplish great things, more indeed than any one congregation could do on its own. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Truly I say to you, as you did it to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." And I would add sisters. That is what Jesus calls us to do. Offer shelter, food, care, love. Thank you. Thank you to all of you, the assembly, the Geneva Assembly of God, for committing to be a host congregation for Family Promise of Ontario County. I have a plaque here that I hope you can hang in a prominent place.
Absolutely.
That is from Family Promise of Ontario County, acknowledging that Geneva Assembly of God has graciously agreed to serve as a host congregation for Family Promise of Ontario County, Interfaith Hospitality Network.
Thank you. Thank you.
And if you don't mind, I'd like to end with a Mennonite prayer.
Sure.
Lord God, you came to give honor to the least, those forgotten, overlooked, and misjudged. You came to give first place to the last, those left behind, misunderstood, and undervalued. You came to give a warm welcome to the lost, those who are orphaned, abandoned, and destitute. Help us to be your ears, to listen to their cries. Help us to give your voice, speaking out love and acceptance. Help us to be your feet, walking beside those in need. Help us to be your hands to clothe, feed, and shelter them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you very much. I am blessed and very appreciative to be a part of a congregation that's willing to do something. Not just say, oh, somebody should help those people. No, you guys are stepped up and you're going to help those people. And that just blesses me as a pastor. thank you again, Lauren, for coming and sharing that with us. Talking about their budget, they're talking about an annual budget of about $150,000, I believe. And that sounds like a lot. And it is a lot. I mean, but I think that God's pretty capable of covering $150,000 annually to serve, you know, the homeless in Ontario County, the homeless children. And that's just the homeless children. I had an idea, you know, at the last meeting we were at, I had mentioned, I said, you know, with all the churches that are in Ontario County, I would have to believe that there's at least 150 people across this county who can fit $1,000 in their budget annually to give to this program. Now, I don't know all too many people who can do that, but there are some. And if somehow across this country, this county, 150 people could out of their budget give $1,000, their budget would be covered, and they wouldn't have to do any more fundraising. And that would be an awesome thing. I don't know that's how God plans on funding Family Promise, but I do believe that God's going to fund it. And so whatever part you can do, please think about that. You know, many of you have volunteered to help on the weeks that we host families, and that's awesome. We're gonna need that coming up in the future. But you know, if you can't do that and you want to do something, even $10 a year helps. Every little bit helps. Yes, dear. Yeah, that's a whole different ballgame. This is. Yeah, I'm sure the people at Family Promise are all over that. Amen. turn, if you will, to Psalm 107. I don't normally do this, but today I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's 40 verses. And then we're going to talk about it, because I'm in this psalm. My past was in this psalm. My present is in this psalm. My future is in this psalm. And I believe that perhaps yours is too. It starts out like this, and I'm reading from the New King James. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north, from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in the desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea, and they mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. They cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm, so its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns the rivers into wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns the wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. God, I thank you for your word today, and I thank you, God, what you are speaking to me through this. I thank you, God, for what you're going to speak to all of our hearts through this. And so, Lord, have your way in us right now. Speak to our hearts and change our lives. May we find our hope in you today, in Jesus' name, amen. I normally don't read that much scripture, but there is so much in here that I just felt compelled to read it. And I want to go back to the beginning real quick and just talk about a couple of things. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the land, from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you redeemed? Yes, I hope you are. If you're not, hang on. By the end of today, I trust you will be. But he says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Can you convince yourself this morning and confess with your mouth, God is good? God is good. God is great. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Can you remember that in the midst of the deepest trial? Can you bring yourself to that confession when nothing is going right? Thank you, Jesus, for you are good. I want to talk about a couple of things. First of all, I want to talk about who the Lord delivers. And according to this passage, in verse 2, the Lord delivers those that are in the hand of the enemy. Do you know anybody that's in the hand of the enemy right now? I do. I hope that's not you. If it is, I hope that you're encouraged this morning, because the Lord delivers those that are in the hand of the enemy. This, you know, there's something about God that I just totally believe. I believe no matter what we go through, God does not want us to live in a state of discouragement. Anybody living in a state of discouragement? And we get discouraged over all kinds of things. And we see loved ones who are in the hands of the enemy. And that's discouraging. I want you to think of your loved ones who right now are in the hands of the enemy. I don't want you to say, thank you, Lord, for you are good. Ooh, you know, it's so much harder to put it in that context, isn't it? Let me ask you this question. How many of you were in the hand of the enemy? I know I was. And I know even today, after serving the Lord for 30 plus years, 33 years I think it is now, the enemy still wants to have me in his hand. I say, thank you, Lord, for you are good. Verse 4 says that he delivers they that wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. Now, when you're without Jesus Christ, when you're living a life contrary to his will, not even knowing that he exists or what he's done on the cross, you are living in a wilderness in a desolate way. That was me one time. It was when I was 18 years old and I was introduced into church. It was, for me, it was, who is this Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and what's that cross all about? And I thought it was just like a good luck charm. I saw a lot of people wearing it. I had no idea what it was about. I was wandering in a wilderness. I was living in that realm of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, right? Anybody else living in that place? It seemed like a nice place. It seemed like we were having a lot of fun back then, but the truth of it is we were desolate and in a wilderness. In verse chapter 10, it says that he delivers those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. You know, again, as we look at these whom the Lord delivers, we can recognize that, you know what, these were things, this is my story. But it's also the story of many who I know and love right now. They're in a very dark place, in the shadows of death. God wants to be that light in the darkness. And you know what else he wants? He wants you to be his agent of his light in their darkness. And then he also delivers fools. Anybody know any fools? I see finger pointing going on. Be careful. Yeah. They're fools because of their transgressions and their iniquity, is what it says there in that particular psalm. Now, anybody got a fool in your life that just be honest here, in your own flesh, in your own mind, it's like you could care less if they get delivered. Huh? Oh, be careful. Some people get to that point where it's like, man, they're so foolish. You let them be. But God wants to deliver them. He wants to deliver those that are in the hand of the enemy, those that wander in the wilderness, those that sit in darkness, and those that are just fools. He wants to deliver them. Even those who are so foolish, they have no idea that they need to be delivered. He wants to deliver them. It also lists another group. Those who go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, who see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, who are at their wits' end. Now, as I said earlier, I think my past is in there. We just talked about some of it. I think my present is in this passage. I think my future is in this passage. And right here is where my present is. And I believe that perhaps many of you are at your wits' end. Anyone else at their wits' end? You know, we go down in the sea in ships and do business in great waters. We see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. You know, those who are, you know, and I don't take this necessarily to be people who aren't following God. God takes us into deep, deep waters sometimes, doesn't he? Deep places. Places where we can see his wonders. Places where we can see his work. And isn't it an awesome thing? And yet we see all of that. But sometimes, and I'm curious if it talks about those who go down to the sea in ships, if he's talking about ships that are sinking. Anybody feel like your ship sank? And you're at your wit's end. There's some things going on in my life. I am at my wit's end. What's that mean? Someone who is at wit's end. Now, I'm not talking about the little radio program. You ever heard the radio program, Wit's End? Yeah. Yeah, you remember that? Yeah. Somebody that is at their wit's end is somebody who has exhausted all of their resources, all their wisdom and knowledge on what to do, and it hasn't changed anything. Am I speaking to anybody this morning? I know I'm speaking to me. I've tried everything I can think to do. And even the things that I think, well, maybe if I try this angle, maybe if I do that, I already know it's not going to make a difference. Someone who doesn't know how and can't save themselves or change the situation, no matter how hard they try, that's somebody who's at their wit's end. We can be at our wit's end with all sorts of things. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you need more finances. Maybe the bills are coming and you've done everything you possibly can and I'm at my wit's end. I'm toast. Maybe it has to do with a relationship. You've done everything you possibly can to convey your love to somebody and they just ain't getting it. Maybe you've done everything that you possibly can to help somebody and they're not receiving it. And you're at your wit's end. My wife and I yesterday traveling down to Odessa where we did the memorial service. We started reading a book called, what was the name of that book? It had to do with no more codependency. Somebody at their wit's end a lot of times. And I'm realizing in my life the reason why I'm at my wit's end is because I'm a codependent person. There's certain things and certain people in my life that I want to be the one that fixes it. I want to be the one to figure it out and help. And when you get to that place when you realize you can't do anything, you get to your wit's end. It's a good book. I'll have to get the title for you. I think it's Codependency No More. I think it might be the title of it. Codependency has all kinds of different definitions. But I know that my codependency has led me to my wit's end. And so I think all of us probably fall in this category of somebody who needs deliverance. And so I want to talk about that just for a moment. What is the cause of the deliverance for each and every one of these examples? And the Bible is very clear in that psalm what it is. They cried out to God in their distress, and He saved them out of their distresses. Each and every one of those categories that we just list, you go back and read that psalm. Whether you're talking about those who are in the hand of the enemy, those who wandered in the wilderness, those who are in darkness, or just plain fools, or those who are at their wits' end, the answer for them was crying out to God in their distress. I am guessing, this is a wild guess, but I'm pretty sure it's a good guess, that there are a lot of people here this morning who are in distress for whatever reason. I want you to say to yourself, thank you, Lord, for you are good. And I want you to cry out to God. Help. I am in distress. And I need your help, God. I am either in the hand of my enemy. I am either wandering in the wilderness. I am either sitting in darkness. I've either been foolish, or maybe I'm just simply don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end and I'm in distress, God, and I need your help. Each and every one cried out to God in their distress, and He saved them out of their distresses. After reading this whole psalm, what should we learn from this? At the very end, the last verse says, whoever is wise, are you wise? Will you be wise? Can you grab hold of whoever is wise? Will observe these things. Observe what things? They will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You will observe that no matter what level of distress you are in, distress, you get, thank you, sister. You ever see those things on the internet? You know, it's either numbers or letters all jumbled up and you can read it anyway. I thank you that you guys can interpret my verbiage when it's off. But the wise will observe that it doesn't matter where you're at, what kind of distress you are in, whether you are living in transgressions and iniquity, or whether you are being foolish, whether you're in darkness, whether you're just at your wit's end, doesn't matter. The wise will observe these things. Look around you this morning, and every single person sitting here, we have been delivered by God in one way or another before. And guess what? He will do it again. If we were wise, we will take a look at all of these examples that we just read about. And we will come to understand God's loving kindness for us. How do we understand God's loving kindness? When we take a look at those who called out and cried out to God in their distress, and He delivered them. God's loving kindness is for you, and it is for me. And in order for us to receive it, in order for us to kind of get an idea of what it's really about, cry out to Him and watch Him as He delivers you out of your distresses. And so our response to this should be very simply crying out to God in our distresses time and time again. Verse 30 and 32, or 31 and 32, they say the same thing as each and every example that we read about, those distresses that we read about, each and every time what the Bible says, oh, that men would give thanks, and I'll add sisters, oh, that men and women would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works in the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the company of the elders. What is that saying? Our response is simply to call out to God. Cry out to God. There are many of us sitting here this morning, and there are many levels of distresses that we have. There, you know, we're concerned with sickness and illness. We are concerned with the lost and the foolish, and we're concerned with salvation, and we're concerned. You know, you just listen to the prayer requests that we had earlier. Many of those things will bring us to a place of distress. But what is the thing that we are called to do? Give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Do you have children? Many of us do. If you do not have children, chances are you're somebody else's child, huh? You think? His wonderful works to the children of men. His wonderful works to the children of men. Sometimes it's not always easy to see, is it? The wonderful works of God in our children. Anybody struggling with that? If we could only get an idea of how God sees our children, if we could only catch and understand how much He loves them, how much He's drawing them, how He lets them do the things they do to get to that place where they finally are so distressed that they call out to Him. And you know, that's a powerful lesson to learn for our children. And so when we see them struggling, it is so hard. But remember this, and give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works in our children, His wonderful works in you. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. It mentioned in here, verse 32, let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people. Let who exalt them? Those whom He delivered, right? Is that you? Is that me? Let who else exalt them? Those who need to be delivered? Those who are in distress? I would like us this week, sometimes I haven't given homework in a long time. Every now and again, I'll give homework. Something I want you to remember to do each and every day. This coming week, I want you to put on Jesus goggles. And in the midst of every single distress, I want you to say, thank you, Lord, for your good. Did you do that? Because I'll guarantee you, this week, there's going to be something that's going to bring you distress. How do I know that? Because last week, there was something that brought you distress, right? Probably the week before that, probably the week before that, probably next week, probably the week beyond. There's a song, I couldn't even tell you the singer, I can't tell you the title of the song. All I remember is one line that says something about, and I don't even know if it's a song, the girl might be ad-libbing, but sometimes you got to sing your way into the truth. Sing your way into the truth. Now there's a lot of things that go on in our lives where we don't feel much like singing. But there's something powerful about giving praise to God. There's something when you sing to the God that moves mountains. When you sing to the God who parts seas, when the mountain is in front of you and the sea's right there and it hasn't split yet, there's something powerful. When we get to the place in our lives where we say, okay, God, even if that mountain does not move, I am going to thank you and I am going to call upon your goodness and declare it. Because you, God, are the one, the only one, who will never be at wit's end. Isn't that awesome? Think about that for a moment. God is not at wit's end with your struggle. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for you are good. He knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly when he's going to do it. You know, I've said this before. Sometimes the only thing holding that door of your blessing closed or your deliverance closed, sometimes the only thing holding that closed is your lack of asking God to open the door. You have not because you ask not. That's what the Bible says. Cry out to God in your distress, and he will deliver you. Stand with me if you will. It says, let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. There's a song we used to sing. I'll encourage you, you know, if you remember this song, to sing it with me. I'm going to try. I haven't sang it in so many years. I don't even remember the chords. I'll pick up my guitar and try it. But for thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God, and I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord. Yes, I exalt thee.
exalt thee, O Lord.
Amen. Kylie, would you come up and play something on your guitar, whatever you pick? Exalt him. That means lift him up. Thank you, Lord, for you are good. You deliver those who call upon your name, who cry out in the midst of distress. You deliver them from all of their distresses. The psalm started with, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." I want to open up this altar right now for those who are at their wit's end. If you are in distress and you have tried everything, it's time to cry out to Jesus. And so I'd like you to come forth and we're going to pray. Come on, I know there's some. Each and every one, if you got a distress in your life and you need to be delivered, come right up here and let's stand before Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Maybe you've been in the hand of the enemy. Maybe you've been walking in the wilderness. Maybe you've been sitting in darkness. Maybe you've just been a fool. Maybe you're just at your wit's end. Or maybe you know somebody who is in one of those categories. And you're codependent like me and it brings you distress. Let's cry out to God. Here we are, Lord, in all of our distresses, standing before you, the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the only one, God, who are not at their wit's end in the midst of these distresses. And so, God, I pray for deliverance right here in this place as we lift up thanks to you and praise to you and we exalt you. Because you are good and your mercy endures forever. You are the redeemer of our souls. And you deliver us from the hand of our enemy. You deliver us from barrenness and darkness, the wilderness and foolishness. You deliver us, oh God, when we can't do anything else. You move the mountains. God, I pray that you deliver us from our distresses here this morning and set us free to worship you. That we would carry these heavy burdens and heavy hearts no longer. But God, that our trust in you would grow, our faith in you would grow. And Lord, that we would see your hand move in areas where we cannot. So God, bless these here today who are distressed. As we declare that you are good, and as we give thanks for your goodness and for your wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and confess it. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. As Kylie sings, love one another, bless one another, pray for one another. We'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock. We're continuing in the discipleship program that we've been working on. Okay. Also, ladies, if you've ordered books, they're in. My wife has them. You can see her. Those who order books, you know what that's all about. But God bless you, and I pray that you leave this place delivered and set free. Hallelujah. Remember, all week long, give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great day.
You are good. You are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love. You are love on display for all to see. You are light. You are light. In you, death has lost its sting. You are life. You are life. In you, death has lost its sting. You are peace, you are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are true, you are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy, you are joy. You're the reason that I sing. You are love.
Jesus, Jesus.
to your